I have cancer. These are three words I thought that I would never have to say. Now, today, I'm going to give you a PSA on my PSA, so let's get right into it.
All units 10-3, it now appears as though shots are being fired. All officers use caution. It has been confirmed suspects are armed and are firing at police.
Secure on the air. North Mexico Fire Department, 1000 North Broadway, towards North Park Drive in North Albany.
Multiple explosions coming from 661. Unable to get any ambulance, any radio except for 667. Automatically go to a third alarm.
How you doing? My name is Phil Lichtenberger, and normally on this channel, we talk about the scanner radio hobby, all things scanner radios. And if you like the scanner radio hobby, make sure you subscribe. But today, we're going to do something different. I'm going to tell you about my cancer diagnosis. Again, stage 3, prostate cancer. I'm going to tell you how I found it, and a warning for you, or maybe your loved ones, on how easy it actually is to get tested, and how a simple blood test can save your life. So to get started, I'm 44. I was 43 when I was diagnosed. Way younger than I should have been. And this is going to be a running theme throughout this. So let's go right into this. Now, regardless of how you feel about it and everything else that surrounds it, COVID was a big deal a couple of years ago. And in 2021, my family came down with COVID. I went through the whole symptoms, right? I couldn't taste. I couldn't smell. I had a hard time breathing. And instead of getting through COVID in a week or two, my symptoms dragged on for quite a while. In fact, the following year, in 2022, I was taken down the Christmas lights, and after huffing and puffing and trying to catch my breath, after going up and down the ladder, I finally said, okay, something is wrong. I better go see a doctor and find out why I can't breathe. Something as simple as going up and down the ladder, less than 15 feet, I can't catch my breath. So I make an appointment in February of 2022, and I go see the doctor. And being that it's been a couple of years since I've been to the doctor, he's treating me as if I am a new patient. And good for him, and even better for me. So he gives me the full workup, right? The EKG, he gives me the reflex thing, he checks, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then he goes, okay, we're going to do some blood work, and I'm going to have you pee into a cup, and this way we can get a baseline of everything that's happening with you. And this would be the first time out of many times I started peeing into cups. I'm about a professional at this point right now. So the following morning before 8 a.m., I get a phone call from the doctor's office, and I'm already thinking, oh, this can't be good. Yeah, the first of many times I've had that feeling in this journey. And he tells me that my PSA level is extremely high and that I need to go see a urologist as soon as possible. And if I can't get in to see a urologist within the next 2 weeks, he's going to start making phone calls for me. At this point, my PSA levels are in the teens. And just so you understand this, the PSA levels for somebody in a healthy range is between 0 and 4. So at this point, I'm about 4 times outside of that range. So 2 weeks goes by, we're getting towards the end of February, and I finally get in to see my urologist. Now, this is somebody who I am going to now become very familiar with, and I do not realize it at this time. And of course, we go through the whole thing. Pee into a cup, let me get some blood work, and I get my first of many pokes with an index finger to go through this whole process right here. Now, I'm going to stop it right here. I'm going to say that my primary care doctor told me that they don't normally do the pokes anymore to find your prostate levels or how big it is. So if this is what's keeping you from getting your yearly physical, you can tell your doctor, hey, can we just do blood work and get my PSA levels? It's simple. It's a blood work. You don't need to feel like he needs to buy you dinner first and take you out to see a movie before he goes and gives you an examination, okay? But my doctor goes and gives me the test, and he says, hey, is this painful? And I say, yeah. So at that point, he goes, okay, your prostate's swollen. I can feel a lump in there. Let's get you started and treat this as if you have a swollen prostate. Oh, by the way, do you ride a Peloton or a bike? I said, doc, look at me. I said, do I look like somebody who rides a bike? So with that, he sends me on my way with an antibiotic. I come back 2 weeks later. They do another blood test. No, PSA levels are still rising. So the doctor says to me, okay, let's look at it this way. Let's just assume that your PSA levels were still climbing. We hit it with the antibiotic. It took a little bit of time for the antibiotic to kick in. And then maybe now your levels are going to start coming down. He goes, maybe you've plateaued. So let's give it a little longer and see if the levels drop. Come back in a couple of weeks. So I come back in a couple of weeks. Still not looking good for me. My levels are still going up. And my doctor says, okay, you're way too young to be here. You're way too young to be going through what I think you might be going through. Let's get things checked out. The next step here is going to be an MRI. Let's go ahead and get that scheduled. So at this point, things have started in February of 2022. We are now entering into May. I go for my MRI, and this will be my first of many trips to the New York Blood and Cancer Specialist building. Yet at this point, I do not realize that. We go in for my MRI, and the MRI results come in that shows I definitely have a mass in my prostate. Okay, this is not looking good. So in July, I am scheduled now for a biopsy. Let me tell you a little bit about a biopsy when it comes to your prostate. They can't prepare you enough for what the consequences are here. You will pee blood for about a month, and it is very unsettling. Now, I'm going to say this. I had no side effects, okay? So maybe you are watching this and you're already peeing blood, right? But for me, I was fine. I had no symptoms whatsoever. So we go into this biopsy, and it's a very unsettling experience. They bring you in, they put you into a gown that's a couple sizes too short. You do the shuffle from the waiting area into the operating room, so to speak, and you're on display for everybody to see on the south end of the room. Let's just put it that way. They put you on the bed. You put your feet up in the stirrups, and your twigs and berries are on display for everybody on that side of the room to see. But everybody's talking around like it's normal, and you're sitting there like, yeah, I'm really not comfortable having a conversation with you right now. And there's two ways of doing a biopsy. There's the first way where they keep you awake, and that's definitely a way that I would not want to have a biopsy done. Basically, they put something in there that seems like it would come off of something from an extraterrestrial. And from what I'm told, it sounds like a air nailer is going off in your hindquarters. Supposed to be pretty painful and not pleasant. My biopsy was actually done very deliberately, and I couldn't move during my biopsy, so they opted to knock me out and put me to sleep, which I am grateful for, because the area they had to hit me in was, let's just say, between first and second base, in that little bit of the infield between the two bases. So I couldn't move, and they had to hit it precisely. So luckily, they knocked me out. I walk out of there like I'm a cowboy. But before I go, they say, okay, we need to make sure that you're okay. You need to use the bathroom, and we got to make sure that you pee. And yeah, as much as they tell you you're going to pee red, wow, unnerving to see red come out, especially when you're peeing out blood clots. But I made it through. Walked out like a cowboy, like I said, went home, and then that was it, peeing blood for a couple of weeks. Yeah, a little graphic, but this is all part of the process, and I'm trying to be as transparent as possible with you. So my biopsy confirmed I have cancer. Now, it also broke down my Gleason rating. Now, a Gleason scale runs up to 10, and it's two numbers. So they take a bunch of samples, and they find out an A number and a B number, and they give you whatever the highest pair is. And on a scale of up to 10, I'm a 9. I'm a 4/5. So this is pretty serious. Now, again, I'm 43 years old. I am way too young to have prostate cancer, basically. Statistically, I'm too young. Normally, this is for adults that are 60 and above, okay? So after my confirmed cancer diagnosis and a Gleason scale of 9, we go in for a PET scan, because let's go find out if this cancer is anywhere else. So I get a PET scan done, and it shows I've got now two spots. Yeah, we've got a spot in the prostate like we expected, but we see something very so slightly on the rectum. So is this just because the cancer is so large? Did the cancer spread? We don't know. So at this point, we're getting into August, and I meet with a surgeon remotely. Now, here's the funny thing. I go back to the urologist. He gives me the results. He goes, I need you to see a surgeon. This is who I need you to go see. Let's go take care of this as soon as possible. I get home, and my phone is already ringing from the surgeon's office. Yeah, we want to make an appointment for you. Can you come in this week? I said, well, I really can't come in this week, but if you want to do a remote visit, I can do that. So I meet with my surgeon remotely. He's in New York City. I'm about 45 minutes away with no traffic, an hour and a half with traffic. And we go through the whole routine. I've got to see you though. I've got to see you in my office. Can you come in next week? Okay. So my wife and I take the drive into Manhattan. An hour and a half to get in there. No big deal. Very easy to find the hospital. Very easy to get parking. We pull in there. The doctor's going through the whole routine. This is the surgery procedure. This is the effects. This is what you can expect. Yes, there might be a problem with performance afterwards. So when you want to do your extracurricular activities, you might need to actually have a little bit of assistance to perform those duties. And then he starts breaking that down. We can do this. We can do that. We can get a pill. We can get this. We can do that. And everybody in the room is kind of laughing like, you guys are putting carts before horses here. Let's just get to the surgery. So the doctor goes, okay, let's do one last thing here. And he goes, congratulations. This will be your last poke that you have to get. I'm thinking, do you promise? And he goes, yeah, you won't have a prostate after we're done. Okay. So my wife leaves the room. The doctor goes, uh-oh. And at this point, the doctor's face basically gets pale. And he goes, this isn't good. He goes, the cancer is too hard. It's too large. It's protruding on the rectum. It's not safe to do surgery. And if you want to go get a second opinion, I'll give you a great place to go get a second opinion. But we can't do surgery. So I'm thinking, oh, great. And at this point, we were going to try and get me into surgery by the end of the year, by the end of 2022. So this was another record scratch moment. Okay. So let's move on to the next thing. Before I leave, the surgeon says to me, you're way too young to be here. Let's just make sure we do this right. And again, it's a running thing. I'm too young to be here. That's all I've been hearing from doctors now so far. So I go back to my urologist. So my urologist now starts me on a hormone blocker to block testosterone. And the whole point of this hormone blocker is to starve the cancer of testosterone because that is what the cancer feeds on and wants to grow with. Now, this will turn into one of many arguments with my insurance company with treatment. So the insurance company doesn't want to approve the hormone therapy. The doctor's office gives me some pills to take to hold me over while we sort things out through the insurance company. Long story short on this medication is that we finally get through the insurance company that I need the pills. They say, how come you didn't try the shots first? We won't approve the pills. And we tell them because you wouldn't approve the shots. So now they want to go ahead and approve 1 month at a time on the shots as opposed to 3 months at a time on the shots. So eventually I get my shots, but it's going to take me months to get to that point. So I'm skipping ahead here. So we're going through now with hormone therapy to see how things are working. And it's not going so well. The cancer is still apparently growing because my PSA levels are still going up. And my oncologist says, hey, you know, just keep in the back of your mind, we're probably going to send you to go see an oncologist. Here's who we recommend. You don't have to make an appointment yet, but if you want to make the appointment, feel free because it might take you a while to get in to go see him. So I make the appointment. The appointment is now for mid-November. I go in. I go see the oncologist. How you doing? He looks at the MRI. He looks at the PET scan. He looks at the surgeon's report. He looks at my urologist's report. And without taking me to dinner or taking me to a movie or buying me dessert, he decides that he is going to also decide to get intimate with me. And of course, he's feeling around and he's saying, ah, yeah, I agree. This is not feeling so great. What are you doing next week? So I said, I don't know, doc, it's Thanksgiving. Why? He goes, you're going to come in on Monday and we're going to start chemotherapy. Another record scratch moment here. Geez, okay. So he goes, the routine's going to be this. You're going to have chemotherapy every 3 weeks for at least 6 rounds. This is now putting me into March of 23. He goes, we're going to work on the chemo so that you're not sick. He goes, but we're going to get very aggressive here. My urologist has been saying, we're going to give you the full court press. We're going to give you the full court press. Well, the oncologist is saying, we're going to hit you with everything we've got. Okay. So that's what they do. They hook me up to a very, very strong version of chemo. They have me on a bunch of different medications and stuff. I'm well overwhelmed. And before I walk out of his office, I say, where are we, doc? You seem to think that this is pretty aggressive and pretty severe. What stage am I at? And he goes, stage 3. Holy cow, stage 3 cancer. No symptoms, stage 3 cancer. Okay, what are my chances of beating this? So he goes, well, you're too young to be here. You're 43 years old. there's no statistics on somebody your age, or there's very little statistics and very little studies. Most of the people who get this are in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, and maybe we put them on active surveillance, or maybe we, you know, their life just comes to an end before the cancer can get to them. He goes, but you've got a lot of runway in front of you. You're 43 years old. What should be a 98, 95% success rate, I'm going to give you a 70%. And he goes, that's a gut reaction here. He goes, that's not anything to back it up with. He goes, that's just years of experience. So stage three, 70%, week before Thanksgiving, I leave there spinning, basically. And that is the next chapter of my journey. So not only does this doctor want me on chemo, but he wants me on another hormone blocker. And this one targets the adrenal glands. Now, this will be another fight that we end up having with my insurance company. It takes almost 3 months to get through because they didn't want to pay for the medication I was supposed to be on. So I go home. I'm spinning. The next day, I get a phone call from the oncology office, New York blood and cancer specialist again. And they run down all the pills for me. You're going to take this pill, 4 pills every morning. You're going to take this pill, but only if you take that pill. This first pill has got to be on an empty stomach. The second one's got to be with food. This one is going to be for an upset stomach. This one's going to be for nausea. This one is going to be administered on your arm the day of chemo. This one you've got to take the day before, the day of, the day after. This one you've got to take for 7 days after this. And I had a laundry list of medications I had to take. Thankfully, the person on the other end of the phone was very patient with me while I wrote all this stuff down, so I have all my notes. Wow. Unbelievable. All of a sudden now, I'm having pills for breakfast. So a week later now, the week of Thanksgiving, I go in for my very first chemo treatment. And let's talk about chemotherapy for a little bit. It's a poison. It's toxic. It kills cells that reproduce quickly in your body, non-discriminately. It goes after everything. That's why you lose your hair. That's why I've lost my hair. And we're going to talk about my chemo treatments and the side effects right after this break. And as a reminder, you can help support this podcast by being a Patreon member. You can support us by going to scannerschool.com/Patreon. Of course, one of the benefits are not having a quick advertisement break in this podcast and also getting the podcast early. So again, you can help support us by going to scannerschool.com/Patreon. We'll be right back. Chances are pretty good that you shop online and buy things online. So whether it's Amazon or eBay or ScannerMaster, maybe you got a new radio and you're going to buy new software from Butel, you can help support the podcast with your online purchases. If you use our support page before buying things online, you can support our show without it costing you a single cent. So before you buy your groceries, your golf balls, your socks, or maybe a new radio, software, or whatever it is, we would love it if you could use our affiliate links before you make that purchase. And this will help support the show at no additional cost to you. Go to scannerschool.com/support to find out how you can help us out. Thanks again. Do you feel lost when it comes to the scanner hobby? Are you looking for someone to answer your questions? Do you have a new radio and you need help understanding how it works? Or are you working on a big project and need somebody to bounce ideas off of? Do you need a little bit more personal assistance than what you can get from an online community? And are you looking for somebody to dedicate their attention and their time to helping you out when it comes to getting you unstuck with whatever it is that you are struggling with when it comes to the scanner radio hobby? I'm here to do just that. See, you can book me for a session right now where I'll sit on Zoom and do a video or a screen share with you, just as if I am sitting across the table and helping you out. You can book your tutoring session right now by going to scannerschool.com/tutoring. I can't wait to help you out. Unication's G2 to G5 pagers are great additions to your radio collection. Not only can they alert you with two-tone pager activations, but they can also monitor your local P25 simulcast systems that many scanner radios have problems receiving. And of course, many of our Scanner School listeners are happily using their Unication pagers to scan their local trunk systems. How do I know? Because they've reached out to tell me. My company, East Coast Pagers, is an authorized Unication, Swiss Phone, and Apollo pager dealer. We not only support departments and agencies, but also the home hobby user as well. Find us online at eastcoastpagers.com. So chemo starts. The week of Thanksgiving, I go in, I get my comfy chair, they do some blood work just to see what my levels are before we start and make sure that, well, I'm healthy enough to start chemotherapy. There's something that just doesn't seem like seems like an oxymoron, right? I'm healthy enough to get chemotherapy. So that takes about an hour to get that done. Half an hour to an hour, depending on how busy the lab is. After they do the blood draw, they hook you up to an IV just to get some fluids in your system. And once you get the okay from the lab to start chemo, they hit you with some medication. In my case, normally it was Benadryl and a steroid. And then they'd hook me up to a second medication, which I think was an anti-nausea. And then they would start you on the chemotherapy. That's the way it went for me. Everybody else's treatment, obviously, may be a little bit different here. And I got my comfy chair. I got a bell in case something wasn't right. And a nurse kept me basically within seeing distance and shouting distance and bell ringing distances and everything else. And she would come by every once in a while to check on me. Hey, do you want something to drink? Do you want something to eat? Do you want a blanket? Et cetera, et cetera. Went through the whole process. And of course, through the process of chemo, what they do in the first round, at least for me, was they start you off on a low. Then they ramp it up and they ramp it up and they ramp it up so that your body has time to acclimate to getting this toxic fluid sent through your system. And of course, my muscles decided that we don't like this and my back started spasming out in the chair. So they had to back down on the dosage. In other words, they had to slow up my dose. So it was about 4.5 hours on my first time through chemotherapy. I get home, I'm tired. Other than that, I feel fine. The day after that, I feel okay. The day after that, I start to feel like I'm getting sick. We have Thanksgiving. I cook for Thanksgiving. And then I was done by Friday. I was miserable. But that weekend, I was the sickest I think I have ever been since I've had food poisoning. And let me just tell you this. I've never been dehydrated. They warn you, though, when you're on chemotherapy that you could dehydrate. I've never been dehydrated. I don't know the symptoms of it. Didn't know the symptoms of it. And I dehydrated myself. Big time. I had severe, severe muscle cramps to the point where I couldn't even stand, walk, or keep on doing anything. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't stretch. I was literally screaming in pain. Thankfully, my wife and my daughter had left the house by that point. But I was screaming in pain. Not only that, but once I was able to get rid of the muscle pains by taking some Tylenol, I was having a hard time focusing. I was a hard time staying awake. I was having a hard time just comprehending things. Didn't realize that I was dehydrated. My stomach was killing me. Killing me. I had such an upset stomach. So a week after chemo, which is a couple days after I start with the dehydration, I go see the doctor for a follow-up. They do blood work. I go in. How you feeling? I'm miserable. I've never been so sick in my life. I can't sit down. I can't stand up. The car ride here was miserable. I felt every bump in my stomach. I was a disaster. So what ended up happening was I dehydrated. Medically, paperwork-wise, everything looked great, but I was dehydrated. So the doctor decided, okay, let's just put you on to an IV. We'll give you some prescription strength, like that purple stuff that you take, the pink stuff, right? And also, we'll put you on just to a bag to get you some fluids. It can be an hour. And I thought it was going to be the longest hour of my life. I just wanted to go home. So all I wanted to do was go home and lay down. Let me tell you, after I finished that hour-long trip, I felt so good. I couldn't believe how much different I felt in an hour just from getting a simple drip from an IV. And then I knew, okay, dehydrate. These are the symptoms. And I made sure after that day that I had all the fluids I was required to take. I was drinking almost 3 liters a day. It's crazy. So after my first chemotherapy session, you can see now, right? I'm a little Mr. Clean. Yeah, I lost all of my hair in 2 weeks. So before Christmas, all my hair fell out. Well, I ended up cutting it and shaving it. Because I couldn't stand waking up in the morning and seeing a pillow that looked like it was growing hair, and I wasn't. I was tired of my beard falling out into my food. Yeah, I lost hair everywhere. Everywhere. I don't even recognize myself. So that's how I ended 2022. In 2023, we start off with an MRI just to see how things are going. Things aren't really looking that great yet, but I'm still going with my chemotherapy sessions. In February, we finally win the battle with my insurance company. And I get my second hormone blocker. Now, let me tell you something. My insurance company was refusing to pay for this because it was $3,000 in change for a 15-day supply of this. Well, guess what? I finally figured out, from CVS nonetheless, that I can go online and I can go on a website for the prescription name, and I could fill out a form online. Basically, it was just my name and where I lived, and they gave me a prescription card for this medication. Now, they really don't know where I live, my income, or anything like that. I give CVS that information, which is basically the plan ID, and they go, oh, okay, it's now $5. $5. $5 for a pill that was going to cost me $3,000 for a 15-day supply. The pill that the insurance company for 3 months wouldn't give me. Now, all of a sudden, I've got my supply of pills, and I can finally start actually getting all of my treatments. So we're rolling through February now. I spike an infection. I start getting lumps under my armpits. So I didn't get a relief that week. And the way the chemotherapy treatment was actually working was the cycle was chemo 1 week, follow up the week after that. And then I have a week away from the doctors, and I actually really start feeling good that week. But this time around, I didn't feel good. I go see my oncologist again after that cycle completes. And he says, okay. He goes, the MRI isn't really showing that we're really going down as fast as I'd like you to. We're going to go through two more treatments. So at this point, I'm not stopping at round six. I have to do rounds six and seven still. Okay, well, whatever it is, it is. Now, around the March timeframe, I started noticing discoloration in my nails. My nails started turning red, dark red, almost like they're bruised. And they start getting painful at that point. And if you've been noticing me talking with my hands, you notice that my fingernails don't look so great right now, which is why I'm trying to keep them out of frame as much as possible. Two thumbs up for chemo treatment here. So it's a side effect that I wasn't even aware that would happen. But yes, everything I touch is extremely painful. My nails hurt. They're about to fall out. And it's affecting toes too. But we'll talk about that in a second. So we're into March now. March of 2023. Well, well over now, a year from first finding out that I have a high PSA level. And my PSAs have now fallen below one. Thankfully, they're now below a one. So now we are done with chemo. We're done. My body has basically destroyed itself based off chemotherapy. It feels like I'm walking on golf balls. I've lost all my hair. My fingers hurt. And my doctor says that we've gotten all the benefit we can out of chemotherapy and that my body basically can't handle anymore. So let's try and go back into surgery. So we go see the surgeon. So now we're into April. I go in the city again. I go see the surgeon. And it's his PA because the surgeon is in surgery the day and I'm meeting with the PA. She is very nice. She was walking through everything I had to worry about for surgery, some of the side effects, this, any other thing. And after 30 minutes, I felt like 30 minutes of talking to her. She says, okay, the doctor will be ready to see you. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay. I got out of here without having an examination. Great. So the doctor comes in, you know, we're going through everything. He says, all right. He goes, you're good for surgery. He goes, but we have to do the exam again. I've lost track, but I think this is probably the fifth time in a year I've been poked by three doctors. And so my urologist got me once, the surgeon got me, the oncologist got me again, and now the surgeon's going to get me. So yeah, so five times in a year I've been poked. And he's got a finger in there and he's moving himself around and he's feeling around in there and I'm uncomfortable as hell. And he's going, yes, 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 yes. I look over at him and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, I've never done that before with a patient. He goes, but I'm really excited. So I said, well, I said, at least it was you screaming yes and not me. So the PA is laughing as she's staring at the floor because, you know, I got my pants down and the doctor's sitting there, you know, screaming yes. And he's like, I was really worried that the chemo wouldn't work. He goes, your cancer was aggressive. He goes, but I'm very excited. So I get myself presentable again, and my wife walks back into the room after that, and she's like, what the hell was going on in here? And I said, it was him screaming, not me. So then the room and, you know, the attitude in the room was pretty good. We get scheduled for surgery, and before he leaves the room, he says, hey, by the way, whose cell phone, wallet, keys, and Altoids are these? And I said, they're mine. I can't carry them. My fingers are killing me. He goes, can I have an Altoid? I said, doc, you just had your finger in me. I said, I don't want you digging through my Altoids. He goes, come on, it all comes from you. Helps himself to an Altoid. So you could tell that the attitude in the room was very lighthearted. And on the way out, I made sure I threw out the Altoids. But yeah, at this point, I'm scheduled for surgery. Again, by the time you guys see this, surgery would have already happened. And this takes us into May, June of 2023. So let's talk about chemotherapy, its side effects and everything else. Because one thing you need to be aware about with chemotherapy is it's not just the person who is getting the chemotherapy that suffers. It's the entire family. The entire family goes through chemo with the person who has cancer. Chemotherapy and cancer affects everybody. Everybody. My wife had to be there. My daughter, my parents, my in-laws, people I work with. Everybody's been very supportive of me when it comes to having cancer and going through treatments. And that's one thing you have to remember, right? Is when somebody knows somebody has cancer in their life and they're going through chemo treatment, that everybody has this weight on their shoulders. They all go through it. It's one of the things they don't tell you really, or you don't understand about chemo until you have to go through it. Chemotherapy may or may not take your hair. I know people have gone through chemotherapy and they don't lose their hair, but they lose their nails or they have other issues. Me, on the other hand, I lost my hair within 2 weeks. Almost all of my hair. I'm still losing hair, okay? I'm waiting for my hair to grow back now that I'm done with chemo. But chemo takes your hair because it targets the fast reproducing cells in your system. And cancer and your hair cells are almost identical. And cancer and your hair cells work kind of the same way. They reproduce quickly. And that is something that the chemo targets. So yes, losing my hair was a side effect of my chemo treatments. Chemo made me feel like I was inhaling fire all the time. If I took a deep breath, I would just burn all through my chest, all down my chest, into my lungs. And I knew for a couple of days after chemotherapy that this is how I would feel. It's a very weird feeling. It's almost... can be said like I've been breathing in something that was toxic, or I spent too much time as a kid at the pool and I inhaled too much chlorine and I was screaming all day long. You know, that's kind of the feeling that it was, but it wouldn't go away for a couple of days. And it's one of those weird side effects that you get with chemotherapy. Another weird side effect I had from chemotherapy was my front bottom teeth felt like they were just under attack. They felt like the nerves inside them were burning. My teeth would hurt for about 2 weeks after chemotherapy. And I don't think I got any kind of relief from that sensation until several weeks after finalizing and finishing my chemotherapy treatment. In fact, from time to time still, I still have burning sensations in my bottom teeth. What a weird side effect of chemotherapy. A very common side effect that I had from chemo was sore muscles. And again, that could also be due because of my Neulasta, and also bone pain, because the Neulasta I was taking triggers the white blood cells. Of course, white blood cells, from what I'm told, because I'm not a doctor, are done inside of your bones and your bone marrow. So my muscles hurt, my bones hurt, and it was severe muscle pain if I was dehydrated. So a side effect that would affect me and still is affecting me right now is sore muscles. If I sit down for too long, I am very sore and very slow to stand up or even get out of bed. So sore muscles and stiffness is a side effect, very common side effect of chemo. Another side effect of chemotherapy is just being tired, because you are under medication that does a whole bunch of damage to your body. So I would feel fatigued all the time. All the time I was tired. But most severely was the day of chemo, I would probably fall asleep at 5 o'clock on the couch and sleep for a good 14 hours. And also several days afterwards, I would go into what I would call my chemo coma, where I would spend the entire weekend asleep. I would work until 5 o'clock on Friday. I'd get up from the computer. I would close my eyes and I would wake up occasionally for a couple hours during the weekend. But for the most part, I was asleep for the entire weekend, and I'd wake up again on Monday, take my daughter to school and go to work. Chemo would knock me out during that window. Not only does chemotherapy knock you out and make you want to sleep, but it also keeps you awake. There were plenty of times while on chemo that I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I would just be wide awake, could not sleep. So I would have to get up. I'd watch a little bit of TV. And of course, by the time 7 a.m. rolls around, you're dead tired again and you'd want to sleep for hours. It's really weird how chemotherapy just disrupts the internal clock that's inside of your body. You have no idea which side is up or down, or if it's AM or PM. But yeah, it's a really weird side effect that sometimes you just want to sleep all day long, and other times you can't sleep. Chemotherapy would upset my stomach like something crazy. I have celiac disease and I have IBS-D, so I'm used to having upset stomachs, but nothing made me feel as bad as my stomach did while on treatments. In fact, that was probably one of the things that really made me feel really bad on treatment. I felt like I had burning an acid in my guts for about a week. And I eventually talked to my oncologist about it, who prescribed me something that really helped with that. But I suffered for several rounds of chemotherapy, just thinking it was a normal side effect. But my stomach was killing me, even to the point where on the first several rounds of chemo, I was screaming and doubled over in pain from all the burning that was happening in my intestines. So with that, chemo really messes with your guts. Chemotherapy also ruined my sense of taste. I would lose taste for a couple of days. Food wouldn't taste right after I would regain my sense of taste, but there was something that I was still missing, even after I got my taste back. And I noticed that whenever I had tomatoes, tomato sauce, ketchup, or even just tomatoes on a hamburger, that it didn't taste right. It tasted very bland, and it had a taste that just ruined that entire dish for me. So if I was having pizza or anything that was tomato-based, it just tasted horrible, completely ruined the taste for me. Thankfully, after being off of chemo for a month, I now can enjoy anything that is tomato-based. Chemotherapy messes your ability to concentrate and to think and to work through problems. And there were many times that I would try to write an email and I'd have a hard time not just coming up with what it was I was trying to say in the email, but also reading emails and digesting what was being said to me was very difficult. This was also part of the chemo fog that I talked about on several podcast episodes, where you just can't comprehend anything. And again, this could be due to lack of sleep, but really it would last a couple of days, and chemotherapy really does affect your ability to put things together in your mind. One of the worst pains that I have though with chemotherapy are my nails. Now, again, I'm going to show you really quickly. They look nasty. They are all red, bruised. I look like a corpse with my nails. And I ended up getting infections under all of my fingers. My fingertips are swollen. My feet are swollen. And it hurts to do anything. I can't even get myself dressed in the morning now. My fingers constantly hurt. I'm about to lose some nails, and I am pretty sure it's my thumbnails. Two thumbs up for that, which is why they're in Band-Aids on this video. But yeah, my nails are horrible. I've been keeping them off the frame here. And this is something I can really only explain by saying, wake up in the morning and slam your fingers into a car door twice a day. Once for fun and once just to make sure you did it right the first time. And when your fingers start feeling better, slam them again, okay? My fingers hurt all the time. I can't pick things up off the desk. I have to bat them off the desk like I'm a cat. Really, really inconvenient to not be able to use your fingers. And I told my oncologist that I would take all of the chemo side effects 5 days a week if it meant I can get my fingers back. And that is how big of an inconvenience this is. I can't even type out an email. I can't do anything for myself. So as you can see, chemotherapy really knocks you out, and it also drags your family through the ringer as well. I've spent a lot of time on the couch watching Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, HBO Max, and I think I've worn out my subscription to all of them, except for Paramount Plus. I really can't find much to watch on there, and I do watch Apple TV as well. But I've watched Breaking Bad, which is really something that somebody going through cancer really shouldn't start watching. But it was a great show, and I've avoided watching it for such a long time. I'm really glad I had the opportunity now to sit down and watch that. I caught up on all of Better Call Saul, which I absolutely loved as well. I watched all of the Star Wars. I've never watched it. I started with The Mandalorian because I heard a lot about it. It actually got me hooked into Star Wars. I then watched The Book of Boba Fett or Boba Fett. And then I started watching Star Wars starting with Episode 1 and got all the way to the end of the triple trilogy. Really, really did enjoy it. And again, it's been something that I've been avoiding for a long time. However, I watched The Lord of the Rings, figuring the exact same thing. And that's 9 hours of my life that I will never, ever get back. Couldn't stand. Once I watched the first one and spent 3 hours, I'm like, well, I'm already invested in this. I might as well finish watching it. And I'm sorry for anybody who is a Lord of the Rings fan. It just wasn't my cup of tea. But I also caught up with some classics like It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, A Dog Day Afternoon, Tron, and several other movies that are staples that you should know about and should watch. And I've been able to catch up on that. So if you have any suggestions about any movies or TV shows that I should watch, please let me know in the comments or over on our Discord server at scannerschool.com/discord. So what does surgery mean for me? Surgery means I will have a catheter in and I'll be peeing into a bag for 10 days. It means that I'm going to have to retrain myself on how not to have an accident, because they're going to have to cut the pipe when they take out the prostate. They're going to go in there and remove the prostate and some lymph nodes and some extra stuff in there just to make sure the cancer hasn't spread beyond the prostate, which means there could be some sort of performance side effects as well. So again, why am I recording this? Why am I sharing my experience with you? Why am I going off topic for my channel? Because I want you to be aware of what you go through when you have prostate cancer. I want you to be aware of the fact that it's so easy to find out that you might have a problem. All you need is a blood test. Go to your doctor, get your yearly physical, get the blood test, ask them to check your PSA levels, no matter how old you are. Have them check. Again, I was 43. I was too young. My doctors all repeated it. I was too young to be there. It's a checkbox on a medical check form. While they're taking your blood, make sure the doctor checks your PSA. I had no symptoms. I had no idea that I had cancer inside of me. A simple blood test during a yearly physical saved my life, and it can save yours as well. Yeah, I went for my blood test and my physical for 2023. And I will continue to go for the rest of my life because I have learned my lesson. I always thought it couldn't happen to me. You might think it may not happen to you. But statistically, most men will see prostate cancer in their lifetime. So if you have a story to share about prostate cancer, or if you've got questions for me about what it was I went through, make sure that you leave a comment down below if you're watching us on YouTube, or you can join us over on our Discord server. And again, I gave the link out earlier, which is scannerschool.com/discord. And if you are into the scanner radio hobby, I really hope that you subscribe to our YouTube channel and also our podcast. Until next time, my name is Phil Lichtenberger. Please, again, get your blood test and check for prostate cancer. Before we wrap up this week's podcast, I want to take a minute here to thank all of our Patreon supporters. Alan Gonzalez, Arthur Altrak, Arthur Heron, Bill Kay, Bob Robs, Bob Middleton, Brandon Sammons, Brian King, Chris Paris, Classic Hank, Craig Harper, Dan, Daniel Chiavolella, Dave Pasco, David, David C., David Kuzneski, Denny Crotty, Dylan Hyder, Ed Walsh, Edward Bramlett, Glenn Dabos, Glenn Wright, Greg Johnson, I Hate Junk Mail, Jack Haycock, Jacques Berry, Jake Jacobson, James Broxson, James Felling, Jay Reed, Jeff Block, Jeff Chapman, Jeff McLeod, Jeff Waldrop, Jenny Taylor, Jim B., Jim Heinrich, John Kordoff, John Keel, John Sweeney, John Derby, John Goldenberg, Joshua Robb, Ken Newberry, Kenneth Fowler, Kevin Zwicky, Lenny Bauer, Les Stevenson, Lloyd R., Luke Hartnett, Mark Beebe, Mason Kramer, Michael Gorman, Michael Kroger, Michael Meadows, Mike Lopez, Mike Piltz, Nicholas Stenger, Paul Bowling, Paul Teal, Randy Young, Raymond Hill, Rich Palmieri, Ronnie Bach, Scott Lefgren, Thomas Giampino, Todd Glendie, and William Arcand. Find out more about Patreon and our support tiers by visiting scannerschool.com/Patreon. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you again next week. 73.